What is up, guys? Ballin' with the boys, back with another episode, episode 3, June 30th. I'm here with Eli Height, and today we have Jay Remmers on the show. We're going to be breaking down some of the biggest stories around the Olympics, the NBA, and the NFL today. So, Eli, what do we have to start off?
So today we have the Olympic trials and Sydney McLaughlin's 400-meter hurdles when she got the world record at 51.1 seconds. 9 seconds.
51.9. There have been the
Nine
Olympic
seconds.
trials have been going on the last couple of weeks, or yeah, the last week for sure, over in Oregon, where actually it's been too hot recently to do the trials. But there has actually been some amazing things happening over there with athletes performing at a very high level. Jay, what can you tell us about this record-breaking time?
So Sydney McLaughlin, she's from New Jersey, I know, and she was doing her Olympic trials for 400 hurdles and ended up breaking the world record running a 51.9.
This is astonishing. A girl of this age during the Olympic trials did this. Just looking at the circumstances and what's going on. Because what happened a lot with these Olympic athletes is that a lot with how their training goes, they train to peak during a certain time. So in 2020, they were all training to the point where they needed to peak. So a lot of them broke lots of records last year in the US Games or what they could do in regards to track what was happening during COVID-19. But this is great to see for the US Olympics team, and it's I think everyone's really excited to see the world come together for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics in 2021. Hopefully nothing else happens with it getting canceled and we can just have a great Olympics. So
And it's really tough to really get that time in 400 hurdles, right? I mean, coming from a hurdler.
yeah, it's really good. We're from South Dakota and most boys can hardly run that time in an open 400,
Yeah, just a flat four.
let alone this is a girl running over a four, running the same distance, jumping over hurdles. It's just crazy. So,
Yeah.
well, we're gonna jump in right like we usually do to some NBA news and updates. Jay, what do we have?
Currently, the Hawks are playing the Bucks right now. I know at halftime, the Hawks were up 13, even without Trae Young, as he was ruled out for this game due to his injury in the last game where he stepped on the ref's foot.
Currently, it is in the fourth quarter. Hawks are up 95-75
Yeah.
with 6:25 to go. This is crazy. And
Ooh,
actually,
breaking news, Giannis left the game with a hyperextended knee.
this is crazy. We have
So
Giannis out now along with Trae Young. What's your instant reaction on this?
just kind of like, man, too many injuries are happening this season. I
Yeah.
mean, so many guys are missing because of injury and just like health protocol.
So now, for the best player on each team is out, and Kawhi Leonard's out, the best team on the Clippers,
Yep.
and Chris Paul's been fighting injuries for the Suns. So every team's like best players seem to be getting hurt.
I know. And hyperextended his knee. Like,
That's terrible.
let's hope the best for Giannis, but man.
But what happened? We just learned this right now. We don't know what point in the game. We think it was recently though that this happened, but how the Hawks got this big of a lead on the Bucks is astonishing, considering they're playing without Trae Young.
Who's leading in points?
Right now, the Hawks looks like their leading scorer right now. It looks to be Williams. Lou Williams has 21 points right now for the Hawks, which
Yeah,
is
he's really
crazy.
stepped up.
Which Eli and I and Mason said in the earlier episode that for the Hawks to perform well, other players surrounding Trae Young need to step up because we said that Trae Young just can't do everything himself. And seeing what's going on with the game tonight, those Hawks players are really stepping up in big moment here.
Looks like the Bucks are really like Giannis's supporting cast is really not helping him at all.
No, really struggling. Holiday, highest score right now at the moment with 17, Middleton 16. They usually contribute a lot more than that, especially Middleton. And now with Giannis being out, I really don't see the Bucks coming back from this big of deficit with the time remaining.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're looking at the stats right now. Middleton has 16 points and Holiday has 17 points, but other than that, like everyone else, like
Is in the single digits.
7 points, 7 points, and 3 points. I mean,
Yeah, where you have the Hawks with two players over 20 and four players over 10 points.
I know. So, I mean, I might walk back on my predictions just looking at this.
Especially if Giannis is out for the rest of the series.
Well, we don't know at the moment. We don't know how bad the injury to Giannis is right now.
Yeah,
but this could have huge implications on what happens down the road or down the series in this game.
Yeah.
But for sure, with Trae Young's injury, we need to see what happens. If Trae Young can come back healthy, that'll be huge. If Trae Young were to come back and Giannis were to be out the next game, but as we can see in this series, anything's been happening. It's been a crazy. This has been a crazy series. Now, becoming even crazier now with the injuries to two of the star players from both teams.
I know. This is, man. Jay, you got anything else?
Not really. Well, besides for Clippers versus Suns, who do we got tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll jump over to Clippers Suns analysis. What do you think of that game, or how is that series going?
Is Kawhi still out? Does anyone know?
We can check on that right now. But it's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Central Time.
Well, regardless if Kawhi's playing or not, it's a really big game. It's going to be in L.A. And I think the team that has the momentum right now, obviously, I don't know.
I mean, Paul George just had a huge night to beat the Suns last night, but
Paul George has to continue playing at a super elite level, especially without Kawhi, if he wants to keep that up.
Yeah, it took a huge performance from Paul George to be able to beat the Suns.
And I just don't know if he can keep that up without Kawhi, which is a huge loss for them as well.
Yeah, I mean, we were looking at like the ESPN matchup predictor, and it's saying that the Clippers have like over 50% chance to win. I don't know, it seems pretty accurate, but...
Yeah, we just learned that Kawhi will be out for Game 6 against the Suns. So, okay. Another game, Paul George has to carry the team to a win.
Yeah, it sucks seeing Kawhi out for this long.
I know, it would make it so much better if all these players... I mean, it's hard to keep players healthy, but...
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that the Clippers, to be honest, win this game just so that they can force a game 7.
Yeah.
I want to see Kawhi Leonard come back, and then if really, he comes back, who knows? Maybe they'll win. But
I mean, the Clippers started the series down 0-2. The last two series they started down 0-2 and 1.
Yeah.
Like they've came back from down 0-2 every single series.
So if they can do that this series, man. It's like the Cavs coming back 3-0.
Yeah. Or 3-1.
Or 3-1.
I mean, it's really rare to see, but we're really hoping the best for all these players that we see injured, and especially what's going on right now.
Yeah. So, what else we got?
Well, after hearing some NBA news and updates, we're going to jump over to some rankings now for the NBA. We're going to do some decade segments. And so this first segment, we're going to talk about some of the best players from each decade of the NBA. So our first one is going to be the 2010s decade. So basically 2010 to 2020.
Yep.
Talking about our top five players. We're actually going to start at number five and count our way down to the number one best player.
Yep.
So
Jay, who's our number five?
All right, starting at number five, we have Giannis. And although he has not made the NBA Finals, every single year he has carried his team to like high spot.
And he's a player that if he came on late in the 2010s, so that's why he's higher on this list. But considering that he won back-to-back MVPs in 2019, 2020, and he's just made the Bucks contenders again, he's just like a freak of nature.
Yeah, like they really haven't had the ability to go to the finals without Giannis. Like, this is like the third time that they've been in the Eastern Conference Finals in the past couple years. So he's really been the cornerstone for their team so far.
He's such an impactful player, too.
Yeah.
Our number four spot we gave to Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
Considering he's won two finals in the past decade.
Yep, he won in
with two different teams.
2019, Raptors versus Warriors. And then he won in 2014, Spurs versus Heat. And then in 2013, the Spurs also made it but lost to the Heat in Game 7.
4-3. So Kawhi Leonard is for sure a top five player. Just how he impacts the team, he's such a leader. Wherever he goes, he makes that team better. Whether it was the Spurs, the Raptors, he took the Raptors from a decent team to...
Yeah, he took them from a team that really couldn't get past the Eastern Conference Finals to being a team that won the finals.
And look what he's doing with the Clippers now. Everywhere he's gone, he's made a positive impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, and he's a great leader along with a great player.
Yeah, definitely.
Eli, who do we got at our number three spot?
We have Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant really is at number three because we feel like he's been the probably the best player in the world, like, the last 2 years, probably.
Best player in the world?
I feel like. Because...
I guess LeBron...
The thing is, he really carried his team this year.
Kevin Durant has been he's been one of the highest scorers in the NBA this entire decade. Like, there hasn't been a year, besides when he was injured last year, that Kevin Durant has not been a leading scorer in the NBA.
And he won two finals MVPs with the Warriors. I mean, Stephen Curry hasn't even won a finals MVP, and Kevin Durant has. So,
and also Kevin Durant made the finals all the way back in 2012 with the Thunder.
Yeah.
So he has made an impact on more than one,
Thunder
one team.
And the Warriors have massive success there,
including the Nets this year. So everywhere he's gone, he's made the team.
Yeah,
100
and he won the MVP in 2015, and that was a pretty big moment in history.
Yeah,
in NBA history for sure. So.
And we also like seeing that Russell Westbrook beef with Kevin Durant now.
Yep.
I think it'd be cool if they reunited one last time, but it probably wouldn't happen.
No, probably not. I mean, the Nets, they already have James Harden.
They wouldn't be able to afford him either.
Blake Griffin and Kevin Durant.
The only thing would be if, like, Kevin Durant left, but I don't see him leaving until he wins with the Nets.
No, yeah. Which probably won't happen, but we can talk about that another time.
So number two, we have Stephen Curry. Jay, what do we have on Steph Curry?
Stephen Curry has won two MVPs this decade, and one of them was a unanimous MVP, which is the first time that happened in history.
He's won 3 of 5 NBA Finals, and is probably one of, if not the best three-point shooter of the decade, if not all of NBA history.
Yeah, he has the record for the most threes made in a season, with 402 in 2015 and 2016, and he has a career three-point percentage of 43%. So,
yes, Stephen Curry is just a special once-in-a-decade kind of player.
Yeah, he makes about a little over 4 out of 10 threes that he takes. So that's kind of insane to think about. I mean,
yeah, Jay, I feel like he's kind of like changed the game of basketball in some ways, where three-point shooting has been like extremely relevant. Like, the teams have to be good at three-point shooting, and
to be good at threes to win, honestly.
Yeah, and Steph Curry proved that by winning three different finals this
and season. You just look how he took his team to 5 finals in a row. That's just unheard of in the NBA. I mean, even though he didn't win all 5 in a row, just to be at the NBA Finals 5 times in a row is
You're
crazy.
Clearly a dominant player if you're the best player on your team and have
and he led that team too.
Yeah,
he was like, obviously he had great players on that team, like Kevin Durant we talked about earlier and Klay Thompson, but he was the leader of that team. He was the glue that held that team together,
and you can tell that because Kevin Durant, he left the team because he knew that he wasn't the number one guy on that team. He wasn't the guy that everyone looked at, looked to as a leader. So, yeah, Steph, he's really cemented himself in NBA history and definitely in our lives.
And
the way that we play basketball.
And we really could argue Steph Curry for the number one player of the decade just because of how impactful he was to the 2010s decade and how he was the player of the 2010s decade. But if we're talking about the best player in the 2010 decade and probably could debatable as one of the greatest of all times. Obviously, all of you can probably guess this, but LeBron James, number one. considering how many NBA finals LeBron.
He's been to 8 finals this decade. That's almost every single year he's led a team to the finals.
Yep.
And he's won 3 of them.
From 2011 to 2018, he's led a team to the finals.
That's,
yep. It's 2 different teams as well.
Didn't make it 2019 and then won it with the Lakers in 2020. So just looking at his success, how he's impacted the teams he's been on, and just the special kind of player it is. I mean, we could go on and on and on about all of the how LeBron's shooting, his rebounding, and all of his different assets he has as a player. But just looking at how everyone looks up to LeBron and how he's just known as probably one of the best players of for sure our lifetime. It's just for sure number one.
And the way he's kind of, they call him Le GM, because he kind of has like that kind of say in who's going to be on the roster for their team. So he's kind of helped himself with kind of recruiting other NBA players.
Because you look at the players that he's played with going all the way back to like at the beginning of the decade with the Heat. Look at the players that he got there, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. Then you go jump up to when he was with the Cavaliers, Kyrie Irving.
And Kevin Love. And Anthony Davis.
You go all the way up to...
But, like, regardless of, like, having a lot of help in many years, he's still been completely dominant. Like, he's unstoppable. Mm-hmm. He's always, like, the best player on the team.
Yeah.
Every year.
And there's no arguing that.
He's always been the centerpiece.
That's really held the team together.
Each of their teams. And, yeah. So, those are...
Our top 5 for the best decade. Giannis 5. Kawhi 4. KD number 3, Steph number 2, and LeBron James number 1 player of the decade.
Yep.
I say that's a pretty good list.
Mhm. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll continue to keep you updated throughout the podcast about the current state of that game. Right now Hawks lead 106 to the Bucks 84. That wrapped up.
Yeah, it's pretty much done.
It's pretty much a done deal. Yeah, Hawks will win.
Tied
2-2. Over the next couple of days, we'll see what's going to happen with if Trae Young will come back. We're going to see how severe Giannis is. I mean, right now it was a left knee hyperextension, so we're going to see to what severity that was. So I wish the best for both those guys. But
yeah, this is going to be really interesting to see how this series plays out. I mean, 2-2. Both their best players are out right now.
We don't know if they're going to be out for game 5 or game 4, but...
No, game 5.
No?
This is game 4 today.
Yeah.
Sorry, game 5. So, it'll be really interesting to see what happens, but hopefully they can all come back healthy.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to jump into our next segment, which is NFL news and updates. So, our first big story of the day, or over the last couple of days that's happening, is Demaryius Thomas is retiring as a Bronco. Eli, what do you have to say about that?
I mean, he's really been a pretty solid wide receiver. I mean,
a lot of people thought he was already retired. like if you were to ask someone, what do you know about Demaryius Thomas? People have been like, wasn't he like already retired?
Yeah, I thought he was retired after like he was done with the Patriots. I mean, they didn't like, what was his deal with the Patriots this year? Like, they signed him on like earlier in the season, but then they just kind of cut him in the preseason.
Yeah, but he's retiring as a Bronco, which is special because that's obviously where he had most of his success. I mean, if you think of how good he was back with Peyton Manning and just the dominance they had, Super Bowl 50 beating the Panthers, that was a special year. Yeah. Demaryius Thomas, 4-time Pro Bowler. I wouldn't say a Hall of Fame career, but definitely a great player.
He's definitely had some good quarterbacks throwing it to him. I mean, Peyton Manning.
I wouldn't say some.
Yeah, I wouldn't say some. I'd say mostly Peyton Manning. And then one thing I remember about his career is just when Tim Tebow threw him that strike in the first, like, was that the opening of overtime.
Was that against the Steelers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was like 2011 or something.
That was a special moment.
When they went on to play the Patriots.
Yeah, but a great career for Demaryius Thomas. Certainly, NFL will miss him.
Mm-hmm.
But not a Hall of Fame career, but he was a great guy. So next in our news, Eli?
Stadiums will be fully open this season after the Coats are okayed to do it. So apparently the Colts were the last stadium to really have the okay to be able to open up fully. And honestly, I'd like to go to a football game this season. I mean,
this will be great for the NFL. Bring the energy back into the stadiums. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about the Dolphins. They won't even be able to get their stadium filled anyways, but
what do you
no one goes to Dolphins.
Why do you attack the Dolphins?
Or the Jets. I guess the Jets. Yeah. I mean, or the Bears, right, Jay? The Bears want to move out of Chicago. I don't know if you guys heard that.
Yeah, I did. They're moving out.
Well,
out of Soldier Field.
Eli, it's not for sure. They talked about it because
They're making plans right now to move out.
No, they're not, Eli. Mm-hmm. No, they're not.
Yeah.
I heard that they are making plans, but who knows if it's official yet.
I wouldn't want to be down there.
Like they said, if it does go through, they'll be moving there and they'll play one more season in Soldier Field while it's being constructed.
But that'd be crazy if the Chicago Bears just moved to a suburb.
Yeah. But they said it was in Arlington. Like, right outside of Chicago. It's about, I don't know.
Arlington, how long... South Dakota?
No. Arlington, Illinois. What are you talking about? So,
that's great for the NFL that all their stadiums will be fully open. It'll be awesome to see them fill those new stadiums like SoFi Stadium and Allegiant Stadium and Las Vegas.
That'll be cool to see the new ones.
The 12th man will return to Seattle.
Yep.
Legion of Boom. So yeah, it's gonna be awesome. All the stadiums filling back up.
Yeah, definitely. So
we're gonna jump into some of our fantasy football news. And in our last two episodes we ranked our top five running backs, our top five receivers, and now we're gonna rank our top five quarterbacks, which is probably one of the biggest moves on your fantasy team. So we're going to, like we did in the NBA segment, or like we have been the last couple segments, we're going to break down some players and then start off with our number one. So, Jay, who do we got?
Number five, we have Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert. So this might come as a surprise to you guys, but we think with how Justin Herbert ended the year last year, and we don't foresee a sophomore slump coming to Justin Herbert. He was playing at a really high level, especially near the end of the year last year, and that he was just really thrust into the starting job last season, and I'm just really excited to see what he's gonna do this year.
Yeah, he remember he took over for Tyrod Taylor after he got
doesn't everyone his though
lung punctured so so yeah. So this is going to be his first like full off season running full reps
as
with the
QB1
starters, and yeah. So, and he has a new coach. So that kind of brings a little
what did happen to Anthony Lynn?
He was fired.
Cuz he was black?
No. He just wasn't a good coach. And so yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, our number four quarterback, we have Kyler Murray. Eli? Yeah.
So, Kyler Murray has already one season under his belt with DeAndre Hopkins, so we're kind of looking to see him.
It's a year two development.
Yeah, grow with his chemistry with D-Hop, so.
And some of those other receivers that they've gotten on. I don't know, old A.J. Green, old Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, A.J. Yeah. Green isn't that old. He was drafted in 2011, but it feels like he's been around forever, and he's kind of regressed the last couple of years. But yeah, we'll see if Murray can put some more life into him. But they have A.J. Green. Is Larry Fitzgerald still there, isn't he? Is this his last year?
Yeah, I think he's retiring.
And then D-Hop, so. Kyler Murray is just a really exciting player, too, with what he can do with his legs. He was the second-best fantasy quarterback last season, and the offense will run mostly around Murray. So I think it'll be really good. I like what Cliff Kingsbury's doing there, again, with his lots of passing offense coming from Texas Tech as a college coach.
Their air raid offense.
Yeah, so they have lots and lots of passing. I mean, who's even the running back at Arizona right now? I don't think
Kenyon Drake?
It was David Johnson, but like for a while.
David Johnson is he's on the Texans now, isn't he?
Yeah.
But is Kenyon Drake still on the Cardinals?
I don't know, because I felt like their running back position was kind of irrelevant.
James Conner.
Oh, okay. And Chase Edmonds, he played a little bit last year.
Yeah. So maybe they'll run it a little bit more with James Conner. I mean,
yeah, who knows, though.
But I feel like that's an upgrade over Kenyon Drake.
Yeah. Kenyon Drake is like the Tyrod Taylor of running backs. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. So number three on our list.
Oh, this guy isn't that good of a quarterback, but Eli just put him there. Dak Prescott.
Come on.
Jay, no. What do you think of Dak Prescott?
Jay and I agree that he should be number three.
No,
so.
Yeah. I thought Mitchell Trubisky should have been there.
Oh, but for sure. Back up to Josh Allen.
I'm just kidding. So, Jay, what do you think of Dak Prescott at three?
Well, starting his pace last year, if he kept that pace and didn't get hurt, he would have been by far number one, probably.
Yeah, he would have set the... I mean...
He was projected.
He probably wouldn't have kept it going as good as he started with last year.
He would have almost had a Jameis Winston yard throwing season. Okay. Yeah.
He wasn't gonna 6,700
yards. Maybe.
He's got a really good wide receiver core around him.
Yeah. Looking at what he's gonna have this year, he's gonna have Cooper, he's gonna have
Lamb,
who's coming on to his second year, who we think will have a better year this year. Yeah. And then Gallup, who was really slept on last year, but has the potential to make a big impact on the Cowboys.
Yeah. And I guess as a Cowboys fan, I've been watching some of his OTAs highlights, and he's really looking like a better quarterback.
Is he able to walk now?
He's able to run. What are you talking about? He's running to his left. And he's throwing it across his body 20 yards to Michael Gallup,
and he really dropped off last year.
No.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. If you're
dropped
Mason
off the field.
Oh my gosh. More like carted off the field. But yeah, last year in his first 4.5 games, he averaged 27.7 points per game. And yeah, I'm feeling good about him coming back next season, so
yeah. And like all Cowboys fans, I'm sure you think they're gonna win the Super Bowl next year.
Nope.
Nope.
I'm not gonna make that accusation.
The accusation? You're accusing them to make the Super Bowl?
No.
All right. Our number two fantasy quarterback is Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. He led the league last season with 25.2 fantasy points per game. And looking at, he has our number one ranked wide receiver for fantasy, I believe, right? We put Diggs at number one?
I think we had him at number two.
No, we had Diggs at number one.
I can't remember.
Diggs is really good. And I think we had him at number one. So
he's really opened up their offense.
Yeah. So just considering that he has one of the best wide receivers of the NFL on his team, and a lot of the same receivers came back. Plus, they're adding Emmanuel Sanders. The Bills are gonna have a really, really good wide receiving core, which is just gonna elevate Josh Allen's level of play.
They also have Cole Beasley, who he really stepped it up when Diggs kind of was like covered a lot. So Beasley's kind of like that slot guy, really.
That former Cowboy.
Well, yeah. He was good for us, but...
Especially what Josh Allen can do with his legs, too. I mean, I know he's not like a Kyler Murray, a Lamar Jackson running, who we'll get to later, but he's still really solid, and he will be involved more in the run game since Devin Singletary didn't quite live up to what he was the previous season.
I looked it up. He was the number 37 running back last year out of 32 teams.
Lamar Jackson was probably a higher running back than
I know. So... Yeah, Singletary really dropped off from his rookie season. So,
yeah. So, all right, Jay, you want to tell us about our number one fantasy quarterback?
Well, our honorable mention.
Okay, we'll do our honorable mention is Lamar Jackson. Jay, what do you have to say about that?
Obviously, Lamar Jackson, like not last year, but the year before, was one of the best. Like,
he won MVP.
Yeah, he won MVP. He was probably the best fantasy quarterback, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he won MVP with looking at his wide receivers, Jay. Like,
yeah.
Like, all he had was...
Hollywood
Brown.
Did
he even have Hollywood Brown 2 years ago?
Yeah, because Hollywood Brown was a rookie 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
He had Hollywood Brown and, like, Willie Snead, and he was the MVP.
And, like, two tight ends, like Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews, so... Yeah, he really did a lot without anything, and he set the record for most like rushing yards as a quarterback.
And now this year they're also they have all those receivers, tight ends minus Hurst returning, and they also added Rashad Bateman from I believe Minnesota, right?
Yep.
So I think that's really going to elevate their wide receiving core. And as a Ravens fan, I think Lamar Jackson's going to have a better year this year than last year. I don't think he's going to have as good of a year as his MVP season, but Lamar Jackson is our honorable mention, a great player, and I think you guys at this point, with who we've all said, can guess who our number one fantasy quarterback is.
Patrick Mahomes.
Surprise, surprise.
So, last year, he was a top five quarterback last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of went the whole year kind of like dealing with some little nagging injuries that kind of just like, even though he was on the field, he wasn't like always on there. So,
and he was on State Farm commercials.
Yeah.
With Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, we're just laughing at something. But yeah, Patrick Mahomes, beefed up offensive line. And you look at, he has our ranked, we ranked his tight end in number one in our tight ends ranking that we did earlier. And we put his wide receiver.
Top three. Yeah.
Tyreek Hill. So obviously he has, I mean, they're going to be dominant force in the AFC Championship again. I mean, don't mark my words, but they have a very, very good shot of making the Super Bowl again next year. Just looking at who's coming back. So
yeah, I agree.
Patrick Mahomes, very dynamic player, our number one fantasy quarterback. So take it from us, doing your fantasy leagues. We got Herbert 5, Murray 4, Dak 3, Josh Allen 2, Patrick Mahomes number 1, and our honorable mention, Lamar Jackson. So fantasy football is going to be fun this year, I think. So we're going to, like we do every week, have our team spotlight. This week's featured team is the Dallas Cowboys. Okay. Eli's team. So Eli's going to give us a little bit of insight about the Dallas Cowboys and what their year this year is looking at.
Well, I really like what they did in the draft. They had, if I'm not mistaken, 12 or 11 draft picks. And I really like the Micah Parsons pick. Their new linebacker, he's going to be more of a pass rush type of guy going down the middle. And he's also going to be able to cover the pass. But I feel like we got Jabril Cox for that in the fourth round. And he's kind of like a linebacker safety hybrid. And I'm feeling really good about our defense this coming year. So
The defense will definitely be better. And obviously Dak Prescott's returning.
Yeah.
Sadly, no more Andy Dalton, but...
Thank God.
Or who was that? Who was that other guy they had?
There you go, Jay. He's on the Bears now.
Yeah, Jay, the You're Bears welcome. Fan, gets Andy Dalton.
Okay, but Justin Fields is probably going to take over.
Yeah, but... and the Dallas Cowboys...
Maybe at the midseason
mark. They'll win more than 6 games next year. I think we can all just be clear.
Yeah. I feel like over-under, I think they're probably 10, 11 games.
You think they'll get in the double digit wins? I mean, first of all, look at their division right now. They have the Eagles, who have Jalen Hurts at quarterback, who really hasn't proven himself yet, and the Eagles are just kind of in a place of eh. You look at the Washington football team with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
They don't have anything really substantial.
Don't they still have Taylor Heineke?
Yeah. And then the New York Giants, which actually I think will be the Cowboys' biggest competitor this year because they have Saquon Barkley returning. Daniel Jones
They have a lot better offense.
Showed some good things, but
their defense has been pretty good last year.
The Cowboys are set up for a good year, and they have a pretty favorable schedule. What do you think about when you first saw it, Eli?
Yeah. I mean, can't complain. I mean, one of the easiest schedules on the roster. I mean, we're still playing the reigning Super Bowl champions first week, so.
Yeah. I mean, it'll hurt a little bit to start 0-1, but.
Wow. I feel like we can surprise some people.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you can get within 10. That would surprise a lot of people.
Wow. Wow. You really don't have much hope for them, I guess.
No, so. Eli. The Cowboys, I just don't. I think people, I mean, they're going to be better than last year, but they're not really going to be a playoff contender. Take it from me.
They're not going to be a playoff contender?
Okay, what I mean by that is they'll probably win their division going like 8-9, 9-8.
No.
They'll get to the first round and play someone like the Seahawks and lose. Okay, Eli, it happens like every year.
12 wins, mark my words.
Okay.
12 Eli. Wins.
And I'm saying less than 10.
I bet they go to the NFC Championship.
Eli says 12 wins, NFC Championship. I say less than 10, barely make the playoffs. Jay, you have any predictions?
I think they'll definitely be a lot better than next year. But I feel like every year they kind of fail to live up to their standards. But I'm still going to go with 10, 11 wins in the season.
Yeah.
And
so,
still have a pretty good season.
Jay is in between Eli and I's predictions for how they'll do. I just think...
I feel like we always have one of the better rosters in the NFL, like season after season. It's just we can't seem to get over the hump.
Yeah.
Like, our guys just like... I feel like we've always had just a younger team, so not too many of these guys really know how to win. To be honest,
some of them know how to get into bar fights.
Okay. Is Mason here? No.
So,
yeah. I mean, I'm hoping Zeke takes a big step up. And
yeah, he better. Or he'll take a big step back into jail.
He never went to jail. Oh my gosh. So, anyway.
Well,
Collins being crazy.
We're gonna end the day with a little bit of off script stuff. Who would you guys like to see Paul fight next?
Paul?
Paul?
Yeah.
Shaq.
Definitely Shaq. You'd have to jump to try to punch Shaq in the face.
Yeah.
Jay, why would you like to see him fight Shaq?
Because he'd get beat up.
Bro. I'd love to see Jake Paul fight Beetlejuice.
You would kill him. That's terrible. Why?
Because it would be funny.
What? To see Beetlejuice just to get the crap beat out of him?
Yeah.
Actually, not Shaq. Jake Paul versus the Phoenix Suns fan who beat up the Nuggets guy.
Oh, yeah. No, I want to see that Phoenix Suns fan and the Nuggets fan.
Oh, like professional boxing.
Yeah, just like a professional boxing match.
That'd be terrible.
It probably would be, but it's just kind of like, you already have the beef. It's just like,
honestly, I would love to see Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see Jake Paul fight Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Okay, just imagine. Joe Biden goes out there. Boom! One punch, Joe Biden's dead. Okay.
Yeah, but then Kamala Harris would be our president.
Yeah, we're not going to get political.
Come on, man.
But yeah, so take it from us. We want to see Shaq fight some MMA. Maybe Beetlejuice, Joe Biden. Come on, guys.
Donald Trump versus Joe Biden?
No. get involved, guys. We want to see more out of you. That would be fun. So,
yeah.
That about wraps up our episode for today. Thank you for tuning in to Ballin' with the Boys. We had Jay on our episode today, and we hope to continue to have Jay in the future.
Mm-hmm. We're missing Mason.
Mason will probably be mad that we recorded this without him, but we don't really care about Mason's feelings or what he thinks.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, yes, we do. But we didn't want to stay up super late.
You know, like, you guys all work at the same place, so it's kind of like, it's hard to really get everyone to
It's basically whoever
be off
can
at
be
one
there.
Time. So,
yeah. So make sure you subscribe, tell your friends, give us a good review, and we hope to see you next time on our next episode. So just quickly, we said we'd tell you about the score of that game. It ended Hawks 110, Bucks 88. Obviously, we all knew the outcome. Series tied 2-2, so exciting to see what will happen next. And this is us signing out. We'll see you guys next time.
Yep.